Hallelujah. If you would turn with me to Psalm 77. We're going to go to Psalm 77. You might as well open up to Romans 8. We'll be there in Romans 8 for too long too. So just mark both places so you can come back and forth. Wednesday night, Tina delivered a powerful word about an anticipation to step through the door, an anticipation to come through. And she always delivers with a power and authority, but there was a great breakthrough. But one of the things that I especially appreciated was the fact that it introduces people to an expectation. Because see, there has to be in our heart an expectation for what God is going to do. And I know that from my own self, from my personal self, that there was a time a couple of months ago where I had allowed my sight to get set on some things that were just discouragement. And see, out of discouragement, if you let that discouragement set in, discouragement will begin to bring apathy. And so those things are not healthy in the Christian life. But when you come into the place of understanding and receiving, what the Lord spoke to me was just simply three little words. Choose to believe. Choose to believe. Three simple little words, because if you'll choose to believe, then you won't stay in the place of discouragement. If you choose to believe, apathy can't set in, because see, apathy and indifference are what begin to follow discouragement. And those are all just cousins of what? Accusation. We talked about accusation a little while back. And so what if you'll do? If you'll just choose to believe. If I don't say anything else today, if you grasp that and you choose to believe, every issue in your life will come to a fruitful end. If we just choose to believe, we choose to believe what God said. We choose to believe His promise. We choose to believe the word He's stirring in our heart. Because if we'll choose to believe, it'll change the environment that we're in. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Psalm 77. And I just want to say, there's a lot of times when somebody's up here preaching and you go, they're preaching to themselves. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at there and said, I don't know if they know it or not, but they're preaching to themselves. Well, I can tell you today, this is one of those occasions, but I'm freely admitting it before you, okay? So we can get that part. So the rest of it's about you. So we're all in this together. So you can take the holy look off your face and just join me and we'll just get real and let God do something in our lives because we don't have to stay here. Hallelujah. Okay. So Psalm 77, let's go to verse 9. See, this is a Psalm of Asaph. And then it says, has God forgotten to be gracious, or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion? That's a lost feeling. And then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Shall I remember? Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate on all thy work and muse on thy deeds. Muse on thy deeds. What is he saying? What is he saying? He's recognizing that the cause of the distance that he was feeling between him and the Lord wasn't the Lord's responsibility. The cause of the distance between him and the Lord was his own emotion that he was experiencing. And that emotion was resulting in something that wasn't God. And so he said, my answer here now is to begin to contemplate, begin to meditate the things of God. And he begins to just give you a list of things that he starts meditating of, the wonders of the Lord that he was familiar with. I'm going to tell you here today, when we will meditate the thing of God, when we'll begin to acknowledge what Pastor has been teaching about, is to acknowledge what God is doing. Acknowledge the things that are good in us. Okay? Because why? As our faith is made effective as we acknowledge every good thing within us in Christ. That's important, because as we begin to do that process, I wanted to highlight why we're doing it. Because if we're understanding why we're doing it, then we'll maybe dig a little deeper to do it. Hallelujah. Okay, now you guys got to have to respond here, okay? So hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. So what we want to do is we want to dig into what God is sharing. We want to allow Him an opportunity to change our life, and that happens by us acknowledging Him and acknowledging His Word and acknowledging what He's done and the things that we've been teaching about all of the last, for a long time, but particularly the last several months, to dig into the right hand, to dig into His truth and begin to acknowledge His truth in our hearts. So that process, we're doing it for a reason. And this reason is to begin to understand, first and foremost, our sonship, our relationship with God. Because see, if we understand our relationship with God, that will put us in a place where we're qualified to go on. And it'll put us in a place where we begin to understand our purpose and our identity. Because if we don't understand our purpose and identity, we can't really get there, right? So we want to understand our purpose and identity. Hallelujah. So I always want to go real quick to John. You probably want to hold your place here. In Psalm 77. But I want to go real quick to John 1. Because in John 1, he says something that's really profound. I don't actually have to turn there because I can quote it. But he says he gives us the power to become children of God. The power to become children of God. In other words, there's a choice. He puts the power of choice, that's the exousia, that power, that liberty to do what you want to do. He puts it in your hand. He puts it in your hand. Because see, we become children of God because, according to Galatians 3, we become children of God by faith. So the choice. So John 1:12 tells us the power of God is in our hand. So we do it by choice. Well, what is the opposite of that? The opposite of that is if we don't understand that we're a child of God, then we are what? The one who doesn't know that whose child they are is an orphan. They're an orphan. And see, there's a thing called an orphan spirit. Now, orphan spirit there's certain characteristics of an orphan spirit, and I'll save you some cards and letters. I understand that it's a mindset, it's not a spirit. So we don't have to send me cards and letters. But it's a mindset, but an orphan spirit is a way to refer to it because there's a collection of things that happen when we don't know we're a child of God. When we don't identify, when we don't have our identification as a child of God, there are certain things that begin to happen and certain reactions and responses that we want to identify so we can remove them from our life. So that's what is up, what's up here. That's what I want to discuss. So if you would go to Romans 8. Hallelujah. And when what we're looking for is the sonship. See, God called me to just speak and release about this relationship that we have with Him. A long time ago, He said this, and this very simple instruction. Tell them that I am. Because see, when we begin to understand that He is, then we can begin to understand who He is. And out of that, we have a reference for now who He has called us to be. So this is what we're going to look at is this thing of sonship. One of the things that as I did research for these things, I began to look at the word Father. You realize Jesus speaks of Father 244 times. 244 times He's speaking about the word Father. So I think Father and the idea of Father was pretty important to Him. And I think it becomes important to us because that's how we know that we're not an orphan. So here's a couple of things that we got here. Remember I said this was about you guys, not about me, right? Okay, hallelujah. We got some agreement over there. Thanks, Eddie. When we want to understand Father, the first thing is insecurity and jealousy. See, insecurity and jealousy come from not knowing the Father. Because see, when we're insecure and we're jealous, we're believing that there's a limited availability of whatever it is that we're jealous about. In other words, a limited resource. But see, God's a God of an unlimited resource. He's a God that there's more than enough, and that's His nature, that's who He is. But see, when we have those things, when we don't understand, then the result becomes anxiety and fear. But what did God say? I cast out all fear. 1 John 4:18 says, I cast out all fear. My perfect love casts out all fear. You say, well, how does jealousy fit in that picture? Well, have you ever been jealous for somebody who got a promotion and you didn't? Somebody who bypassed you on their way up the ladder? Those are the kind of things I can remember, and I will remember there was a time when I'd have to get up in the service and go to the back because LaRue was having somebody preach, and this person would get up and he would preach what I had spoken to him. And I'd have to go to the back and it was all I could do to just be in the sanctuary. Now I understand that's not the way we want to stay, but that's where it was, okay? So I need to be real, because if I'm real, then you guys can say, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. Because it was everything I could do. And I loved this person. That wasn't the issue. I didn't hate him because he was getting to preach what I had told him. But I hated the situation and all that jealousy. See, I would have told you it was righteous indignation. But you see, that was just a really good cover for jealousy. Okay? See, it was a cover that made me feel good. It's righteous indignation, right? But it was just jealousy. Why? Why? Because, see, it affected how I measured myself with somebody else. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Our assignment is to hear the voice of God and do whatever the voice of God is showing us to do. Our assignment is to respond out of love no matter what else is going on around us. When we hear and obey, we obey with love. Those are the things that are part of being part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to look at anybody on this next one. Oh, I really want, no. But basically, when we're independent, we push others away. And you're like, he looked at me. Maybe you're right. I don't know. When you only want to get what's earned. In other words, you can't even, when somebody pays you a compliment, you can't even receive that. Why? Because you didn't feel you earned it. You didn't feel you deserved it. If I didn't perform for it, then obviously I can't receive it. See, that's an independence. But see that this puts you in the camp where instead of being by faith, it's by works. Your whole Christianity becomes by works. When you can't receive the compliment when it's justly due. When basically, that independence keeps you from understanding what God is trying to do in your life. You know, we're called charismatics, right? As a general class of people, you know, some people are Lutheran, some people are whatever, but we're of a charismatic persuasion. Well, charismatic means gifts of grace, not gifts of works. Not gifts of works. See, our performance mentality, there's a good thing, there's a good reason to strive and do things well. We should have a spirit of excellence about us. But when it's more than a spirit of excellence, when it's coming from a point of, I've got to satisfy this thing, because only if I am accepted, only way for me to be accepted is by doing, then we're off base. God is the God who looks at the intention of our heart in everything that we do. The intention of our heart. When the intention of my heart is to bring a blessing to someone else and by my effort, then there's something that can be released that's good in that. And that's a wonderful place. If I go to work and I'm working for you, then you have a right to expect me to try to be a blessing to your business. But if the only way I can curry favor with God is by my performance, I'm an orphan spirit. I'm operating out of an orphan spirit because I don't know the grace of my God. I don't know His mercy and His love. Because see, the thing that's going to make the difference is when I can begin to understand that no matter what I do, there's an unending flow of love available to me. When I begin to understand that, it says faith works by love. Well, when faith works by love, that means that it's not working by condemnation and guilt. When faith works by love, then it means that I am free from the performance thing because what I do now, I do because I want to be a blessing to you. When faith works by love, I can begin to understand the nature of God, my Father. And maybe it looks a little different than my natural father. Maybe it looks a little different than even my pastor. It doesn't matter who it looks different than. It's understanding that love is going to put you in the place of being able to stay in the flow with Him. When I understand it works by love, faith, my faith is being stirred by love, then that faith being stirred by love will create in me a reservoir that you can't take away. Whatever you do or you don't do, can't steal that from me. Right? Hallelujah. I had an interesting sozo this week. And in it, the person was struggling to understand the love of God. And then he began to see, the Lord just began to describe it to him, and he began to see a waterfall. And he was in the middle of that waterfall. And he began to understand that no matter what I do, I didn't cause the water to start falling. I can't cause the water to stop. Nothing that I do, I can't earn my way to more water. I can't earn my way to less water. It's not about my performance. It's just because His love is showering on me and it's just a continual flow. When I have that mental image, now I can begin to understand this is the nature of grace in our life. Grace is not so I can sin. Grace is so I can fulfill the call of the Father. But I have to have that foundation of love to support it. Hallelujah. I don't know if we'll get through all this, but that's okay. Hallelujah. So, if you guys want to give me a compliment, I can receive it now. I hear it. Okay. I feel validated again. We're ready to go. Here's the... Don't shake your head at me. Feelings of abandonment and isolation. You know, in other words, you don't feel that you belong. When you feel that you belong, then there's something that happens because that's what love does. Love causes us to belong. You see, understanding who the Father is and that my Father is well intended to me in every situation, I can now belong to something. You know, there are entire groups of kids in high school and even in junior high, you know, who are getting into gangs and all kinds of trouble because simply they want to belong. And we're not any different when we're adults, when we do things, when all it's to do is just to belong. If it's not God calling us to it, then it's not the place where we're supposed to be. But see, we all have a desire. We all have a desire to belong. But I can tell you that I've tried all the other avenues, and there's only one that's going to satisfy that desire within you, and that's Christ Himself. There's a God-sized hole that only God can fulfill. We all have that desire to belong. But he'll fulfill that. When he begins to fulfill that, then I am free from whether or not somebody else accepts me or not. Okay, when he's fulfilling my heart, then whether or not somebody else accepts me, that's up to them, and that's their business. If they don't, they're missing a blessing. That's the way you can look at it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right, Joanne? I mean, sometimes we can get to the place of isolation. I'm not feeling that, so that we see a group of people and they're huddled down there on the field and you just know they're talking about you. When we're with God, we don't have to deal with that. All right, here's one that everybody who knows me knows this is probably a major struggle. Overly competitive. No. Overly competitive. When we're competitive, there's a place, there's a competitiveness in the world, which I know a lot about. And there's also competitiveness in the spirit. When I have to measure myself and my success against you and your success. Seems back to that same story. See, in the natural, I am a very competitive person. It doesn't matter if we're playing tiddlywinks or we're fishing or whatever. I mean, we ain't going home if we're fishing, Tom. We ain't going home until I catch one more than he does. And sometimes that means you can stay there for 3 or 4 days, okay? Because Tom can fish. He can hold up his own. Don't let his little looks, he'll hold up his own end of the deal. But the same thing is that God is wanting us to recognize that this competitiveness that we have, when we take what we've been doing in the natural and we start bringing it into the spirit, in the world of the spirit, we bring it into our faith, then we're not depending upon the one who is our defender, the one who is our righteousness. We're not depending on the one who is, in other words, because we're competitive. Why? Because I'm doing that to make myself feel better, to make myself feel valid. So when we begin to see that, now we can begin to walk in the faith that God is placing us. Because why? Because I don't have to compete. Tina delivered a beautiful word the other night. And you know what I was able to do is I was able to feel this justifiably proud of what she was doing. I was able to feel this desire to promote her and let her gift come forward. That's a long way from where we were back when I had to walk in the back of the sanctuary. Because see, why? Because then another one's gift comes out, we're all increased. In the place of God, in the house of God, it's not about any one person. We're looking to bring out the best in everybody. I don't have to put you down to make me feel better. I can call you up. And when I call you up, that in a situation, and that in itself is actually a true submission to God our Father. I'll get to that in just a second. See, there's an acceptance. Ephesians 1, verse 5 says this, we're predestined to the adoption as sons. There's an acceptance that the Word speaks about that we can step into. I can tell you that there's a freedom that is available to you because I have experienced it. At one point I shared about this a while back, but it was not, I didn't share this part of it. I went on a fast, and in that fast, I had a moment where I wasn't sure what was happening because I was literally presented in heaven. And I didn't know if it was like, this is it? Or is this just a vision, an encounter? I didn't know. But as I was there, as I was presented in heaven, I came up and I was in the midst of a huge crowd of people. And I was naked. Totally naked. And everything within me immediately went into a defensive reflex, and I curled up on a ball on the floor, and I tried to just hide. And then I began to realize these people who are all around me know everything that I've ever done. They know everything I have ever done. And that only made me want to make the ball smaller. And then I began to realize there's no condemnation. They knew not only what I had done, they knew why I had done it. And that there was no condemnation, there was no judgment, there was just an acceptance. And not just an acceptance, but an actual looking, an actual preferring of me that I never would have anticipated. Because see, you're part of a generation that they all want to be part of. They all want to be part of this generation. They all want to be part of the ones who are leaving the testimony of God to this generation. This is they look at this as an honor. And when I realized that I was totally and completely accepted, I experienced a freedom like you'd never believe. When you're totally and completely accepted, then you're totally and completely free. And there was no condemnation. So in that environment, see, because there was no condemnation, then the Lord could begin to speak to me and speak and let me know that that all the things of what I was doing and why I was doing them. And so he began to show me the jealousy. He began to show me the spirit of competition and all those things that I had done. And yet I did not feel any condemnation. There's no condemnation here today for any of you. There's only a freedom for us all to go into the next place, to step into and through the door into the next place God has for us. There's no reason for shame. There's just a reason to exalt the goodness of our God, to exalt the one who loves you and cares for you, the one who cherishes you, the one who wants to be with you. Hallelujah. So I guess that covers the acceptance. When you begin to feel that acceptance, I mean, when I got through with that experience, the next Sunday I showed up, I had to apologize to a whole lot of people. But I didn't care. I was just free. And you can just stay there. We don't have to put it back on. Shame is not a coat we have to wear. We can wear the acceptance of the Lord. We probably ought to have some humility with that too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, the next one, number five, is unable to put down roots in a church. We're changing church frequently. I know that doesn't apply to anybody here. But see, what happens is that sometimes when we don't understand Father, when we don't understand who Father God is, it's because authority has become something that's painful. Authority, especially in a church, shouldn't be something that's painful. If our understanding of authority is that it's always something that causes us pain, then naturally we're going to back out of it. But that's not the nature of our God. When we begin to correctly understand the nature of our God, we not only don't have to be competitive, but we can recognize that we can step into the fullness of a relationship. Hallelujah. It got really quiet there. Hebrews 12:9 says, be subject to the Father. That's the same word is used for the word submit. Submit means to get under and push up. Get under and push up. In other words, become part of the foundation. What is that saying? In other words, become part of the vision. Become part of someone else's vision. Step into it with them and help lift them up in it. When I'm busy lifting up the vision of my neighbor, if I'm lifting up the vision of my neighbor, now then I'm bringing increase to to the body of Christ. If I'm bringing vision, if I'm lifting up my neighbor, I'm no longer competing. I'm no longer jealous. I'm an intercessor for their cause. And when I'm an intercessor for their cause, I'm standing in the righteousness of God. I'm making a difference. Hallelujah. That's what our faith is about, is making a difference. But when I begin to understand that I can do this, now that I can understand my place in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we use different events to keep us out. But we don't see Christ doing that. Well, in fact, in Luke 19 and 47, we see Christ was in the temple daily. He had lots of reason to be offended with what was going on. He had lots of reason to do something else, but yet instead he chose to be there. He chose to be among the Pharisees even daily so he could do what God had put in his heart to do. It doesn't mean that every church environment you're going to be in is a perfect place. Please, we know they're not. But we can understand that where God has planted you, when he's planted you, there's something else. There's nothing else that will ever take the place of that. When you're planted, you become fruitful. When you're planted, you become fruitful. Fruit is released. Hallelujah. Moving on. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, we'll see me after service. Six was looking. We're on the lookout for something bigger and better. How many have heard the he who dies with the most toys wins? Well, see, we know that that's something that the world would say and the world would engage in, but sometimes we kind of bring it into our Christian faith and our Christian walk too. It's not about what we can gather. It's not what we can cause. It's not how big our church is. It's not about any of those things. It's, are we serving the heart of God? Are we following the heart of God? Are we following His purpose in our life? Because regardless of anything else, if we're doing that, then we're no longer an orphan. Hallelujah. When we have then a feeling-based faith. In other words, if it feels good, if it feels right, then I will follow it. Romans 8 and 14 says, For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit of God is what qualifies you when you're allowed. Because see, it's a choice that we get to make. We get to make that choice. That's how we become sons of God, is because we allow the Spirit of God to lead us. And when the Spirit of God's leading, you never walk astray. When the Spirit of God is leading you, you will always be where you're supposed to be, right on time. You know, it's just, you know, a lot of times we get hungry for something that's outside His time. We get trying to do things, and a lot of things get done. A lot of churches, mega churches and stuff are built because somebody's just simply trying to serve a hole within themselves. Don't go and tell Joel I said that. That's not the point. I don't know why he built what he built, but we know, and our heart is to do what God is leading you to do, to support what God's leading you to support, and to recognize that nothing external to me can ever supply me with what I actually need. Because if our whole journey is about the external things, we've missed it entirely. Our journey is about what is God doing in my heart. And let me choose to be faithful to that. Hallelujah. Hey, I got an amen from the guy who did it for 50-some years. Actually, probably about 70 years now, huh? Well, you've been letting God do what He wants to do, not just in your ministry. Hallelujah. Since you were 15? Was it 15 when you got saved? Okay. All right. So I'm not too far off. When we need recognition and constant reaffirmation, when we need the constant reaffirmation, why? Well, see, what's the danger? See, when we need those constant things to be plugged up and to be pushed up and to be propped up, who's the one that's supposed to be propped up? Jesus. We're supposed to be propping up Jesus. We're supposed to be lifting up Jesus. And if we're busy taking all the glory for ourselves, then we're not lifting up Jesus. We're not releasing a testimony anywhere. See, when we have the orphan spirit is driven by that need to protect itself at all costs. And if I have to use you to protect myself, then that's what I do. If I have to use a situation to protect myself, then that's what I do. But see, that's not the way the Father operates. That's not what He has set up. He set up for us to be secure in who we are, to realize there's more than an abundance of whatever it is that comes from His Spirit. Comes from His life. So when we're looking to those things, we're looking for our identity. If we're looking for our identity in something that's not God, we're going to protect things that we shouldn't be protecting. If I have a space and you get in my space and I'm trying to protect it, I'm going to become territorial. And if I'm becoming territorial, then probably I'm too worried and too concerned about protecting rather than being concerned for you. Being territorial is part of the orphan spirit. But see, God has a desire to bring forth such an abundance in you. In every person, in every heart in here, He brings forth an abundance because that's His nature. Hallelujah. Had another thought there. Trying to identify if it's going to come back here. Because when the territorial thing happens, we're protecting something that actually, you know, that's just it. If you know God placed you there, you don't have to protect it. We had, a long time ago, we had a guy who was a major, you know, majorly known international violinist come. I won't say his name. Some of you might remember, but I won't say his name. But anyway, he decided he wanted to be a part of this body. So after service, I'm taking him. We were going all meet over at Denny's, and I'm taking him to Denny's, and I know where God put me. And he's looking at me, and he says, "You're going to have to make room because I'm going to be the number two man here." And I just said, "That's what God wants, then you go for it, Bubba." So he got bold. So when we got to Denny's, he looked at LaRue, and he said the same thing. "I'm going to be the number two man here." And LaRue looked at him and said, "No, you're not." But see, it didn't bother me because I knew where God had put me. I knew what God was doing in me. I didn't have to defend myself. I didn't have to make any response. And the one who was above me, he just said, "Okay, here's truth. Here's truth." See, we don't have to defend our territory when God puts you in that territory. And if somebody comes along and they move you out of that territory, maybe it's time for you to move. When I owned Net One and the Lord began speaking to me about how things were changing, and He began to speak to me about what was going on, and He was really stirring in my heart about ministry. And then one of my partners decided that he wanted my company. You know what? He didn't move me out. I allowed God to take me where He needed me. There's a difference. Why? Because, see, I could have looked at that as something of a demotion. When you go from having a job making good money to just being out of a job, that's not, you know, that's not an encouraging thing. But the thing is, God was promoting me into something different. I had to not be territorial about it. It didn't. Those things weren't the things that were important. I needed to do what God was calling me to do. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? All right. Because we don't want anybody who's the next one being easily offended. See, our confidence, I think Sharon mentioned it, Sharon or Tina mentioned it, when our confidence is in the Lord, that's where the difference happens. Our confidence has to be in the Lord. Our confidence comes from having this relationship with God. Hallelujah. I will not harp on that one because we teach about forgiveness all the time. But the most of the time when we get offended is because, this is for Sharon, because there's a goal being blocked or somehow our image, our self-image is being threatened. And see, if there's a goal being blocked or my self-image is being threatened, now you're going to see the bear. We don't want the bear. But see, that's why a lot of times when we get offended, when we're easily offended, is because we have our understanding of our own image and something comes and gets in the way of that. So we let go of those things. Why? Because our image comes from Him. When I tell you why, almost every person that I've ever dealt with, and so is though, has some degree of self-image problem. A self-worth, not understanding your worth, comes to you from God and God alone. It's time for our Christianity, it's time for our faith to be stirred by the image that Christ paints in the inside of us and nothing else. I'm going to have to go through this next one really quick because it's an attitude of no one's going to tell me what to do. As a pastor, I've met a few. No one's going to tell me what to do. You can't tell me that. But you know what? We have two choices. We can be teachable or we can be unteachable. The only one of them is going to take us into a path that brings fruit in our life, that brings maturity in our life. As long as we stay unteachable, we're going to stay in whatever situation we are in. We never graduate. We can't mature because we have never been able to submit ourselves to the process. But if we choose to be teachable, it doesn't always feel good to be teachable, but it's always profitable. It's always profitable. It always brings something in you that couldn't have otherwise been happening. I'll tell you, the most fruitful lives are teachable. And being teachable is not necessarily, everybody's personality is different. And so it doesn't necessarily come natural. But I can recall Miss Sue. Miss Sue, you know, her heart was to be teachable all the time. And even though she didn't get saved until she was 50 years old, say 50, I mean, by 50, you're pretty well set in your ways, and she's having to rethink and re-understand herself. And she did that by being teachable. And she had, in those 23 years that she had left, were some of the most fruitful years I've seen on anybody's life because she was teachable. This last one was really the issue that I went to a sozo. And what came for him from Sozo was a survivalist mentality. And I went, bingo. I didn't even want to say it the gentleman doing the Sozo just said, Lord, would you show him what's standing in the way between you and him? And And this word survivalist mentality came up beneath me. And I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Because see, when certain things happen in your life, then your dependency becomes yourself. And if my dependency is on myself, that's a far cry from it being on my Heavenly Father. If my dependency is on myself, I am limited to the things that I can do, and I'm not touched by the things that the Father always wanted to do, He desired to do in me and over me and through me and for me. There is a place where, yes, we have to be self-sufficient and we have to take care of ourselves to a degree, but it can never be at the cost of understanding who our Father is. That has to be the first and primary thing that we understand. When we understand our Father, when we understand His goodness and His grace over our life, we understand the spirit of adoption that He's been given to us, then we can begin to draw into a place of greater power, greater authority, and we're no longer limited by the things that we can do, but we are in a place to see what He can do. Sometimes we just forget that we can count on God. But that's not our Father. Hallelujah. I'm not going to leave you with all just the problem. We've identified the problem. But see, John 14 and 18 says that He's not going to leave you as orphans. We're not talking about physical orphans here, although these things can apply to a physical orphan. Those who've worked with people who've been orphaned, we understand that those things apply, those things are seen in those situations. But I can tell you that as Christians, we often don't understand the nature of our Father. But He promises, I'm not going to leave you there. If you'll draw near to Me, I can draw near to you. If we'll draw near to Him, we can understand who He is. And that was the whole purpose of why we're spending all this time learning how to enter in. That's the whole purpose. Because remember when I said on Psalm 77, it was His grief that caused Him? Well, He said, I'll begin to meditate. Why? The meditation is the acknowledgement. Acknowledgement of who God is. It's acknowledgement of what He's doing in your life. It's the acknowledgement of His testimony for you. And as you begin to acknowledge those things, now it begins to somewhere deep inside you, it dawns on you, I'm not an orphan anymore. When that begins to dawn inside you, now I can begin to approach and apply the love of God for my life. When I apply the love of God in my life, everything else changes. I can now walk in the confidence of God. I can now walk in the confidence of who He said I am. Why? Because I can see it now. It changes how we hear, how we respond. It changes everything. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Romans 8 is an incredible chapter and explains the love of God. And explains, see, down in there, there's a, down here, it says here, that all things, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. Those all things that work together start with your understanding of sonship. Those all things that work together are not some flat tire that you had on the side of the freeway. No, that's not what He's talking about. He said, all the things in My kingdom will work together to bring you into a knowledge of Me. And when they bring you into a knowledge of Me, the end result is what He talks about in Romans 8, 38 and 39, is that nothing will ever separate you ever again from the love of God. Nothing will ever separate you ever, ever, ever again from the love of God. Our sonship, our understanding of this relationship that's been purchased, our understanding of the adoption that we have, those are the things that will bring us into a place. Those are the things that are working together to understand and cause us to understand the Spirit of God and the Spirit of love. Do you realize that when the Romans, they were talking about this spirit of adoption during that time. When Romans adopted somebody, it wasn't a baby. It was a full-grown adult. They adopted full-grown adults because someone would see a characteristic in them that they wanted to be part of their family. God is looking at full-grown adults who have a characteristic in them that He wants to be part of His family. He wants what's in you to be demonstrated. He wants what's in you to be testified about. He wants what's in you to begin to wear the cloak of His love. Because He is totally head over heels in love with who you are. Even when we don't know, He's still in love with who we are. I want you to say this week, just acknowledge that love as we go forth this week, just acknowledge that love. And if there's somebody in here who says, Pastor, I just don't know this love. I want you to just we're going to let you go here in just a second, but if you'll dim the lights. And if somebody doesn't know this love, I want you to just come up and our prayer partners will pray with you. I'll pray with you. And I want you to give you an introduction. We can't cast the spirit of the orphan out of you because it's a mindset. It's a place of beliefs. But what we can do is plant the seed of hope, the seed of faith, the seed of love. And when we plant the seed of hope, faith, and love, then there's going to be things that are brought forth to the surface, and it's going to result in you knowing who you are as a son or as a daughter in the kingdom.